Hey Siri, play Social Geek Radio.
Okay, Social Geek Radio podcast coming up.
Hello, geeks, and welcome to Social Geek Radio. I'm Jack Munson, your host and social media consigliere. Today's guest will be Jay Baer. This episode is brought to you by Social Joey, brand journalists, and Franchise Expo Nashville, the big franchise show coming to Nashville March 20th and 21st at Music City Center. Thousands of entrepreneurs and future business owners from across the country will attend Franchise Expo Nashville looking for franchise opportunities. If you're a franchisor, there's still room to exhibit and meet the most qualified prospects from Nashville and the surrounding areas. Check it out now at franchiseexponashville.com. Okay, today's guest, I'm so excited to have join us here. It's Jay Baer, the founder of Convince and Convert Consulting, a digital marketing and customer experience advisory firm. They help brands gain and keep more customers. Jay's also the author of 6 best-selling business books, the latest of which is called Talk Triggers. He's got another new podcast out today that we're going to find out about. And if you're joining me at IFA 2020 in Orlando in 2 weeks, you can see and hear Jay in the Super Sessions on Sunday, February 9th. Welcome to Social Geek, Jay.
Oh, Jack, thanks so much. Fantastic to be here. I am fired up for IFA as well. It's going to be terrific. Hope to see a lot of people there in Orlando.
Yeah, a lot of our audience, a lot of people in the franchise industry are really excited to have you join us there. Marketing over the past few years and really storytelling and you know, all of the stuff that you're focused on has really taken off in the franchise industry, and I think we're looking forward to you and a few other folks to kind of help us all get to the next level. So what can you tell us about your upcoming engagement with the IFA in Orlando?
I'm really excited to bring this material to the stage. It's a new presentation I just finished building called Coveted Customer Experience. And it's about how businesses, franchise organizations, and others can meet and exceed the ever-escalating expectations of their customers. And isn't that really what this is all about? I mean, I remember very clearly when the first franchise organization, first franchise restaurant at least, in my hometown of Lake Havasu City, Arizona, went 24 hours a day. When the Taco Bell went 24 hours, I was like, man, my life has changed forever.
Our late night plans just got different.
Everything got real good all of a sudden. But what's funny is that, you know, it was so ballyhooed, like, oh my God, I can't believe these guys are going 24 hours a day. And now, of course, we expect that. And so everything that we do in business, eventually customers come to expect it and you no longer get credit for it. And so today we're living in an environment where we hear advice constantly on stage, on the page, to work on your customer experience, to deliver a better customer experience to whatever kind of organization you happen to be. And I guess that's good advice. I mean, no one's going to say, I don't really believe in customer experience. Everybody nods their head. But the problem, Jack, is that it's almost impossible advice to follow. Because when I say to you, improve the customer experience, the reality is that customer experience doesn't really exist. It's actually just a nickname, right? Customer experience is the totality of all the interactions we have with customers rolled up into something that we call quote unquote customer experience. So that could be dozens or even hundreds of touch points in some circumstances. And so to say get better at that is almost an impossible assignment. The metaphor I'd like to use is, you ever get one of those like 6-foot party subs from like Subway?
Yeah, sure.
Like, so imagine they didn't cut that into pieces and you had to eat it like Lady and the Tramp style. Like each got on one end, like that would be a really tough lunch to get through. And that's what customer experience is like today. So I've done tons and tons of research on this with my team. And we found out that of all the escalating expectations that customers have, there's only 3 things that really matter. So of all the dozens or hundreds of customer experience things that you could do, the 3 that really matter are these. Customers want us to be quick. They want us to be clear. and they want us to be kind, quick, clear, and kind. If you can focus on those things, right, being incrementally faster, being incrementally easier to understand, and being incrementally more empathetic when the situation calls for it, if you can focus on those three, almost all of your customer experience needs will be met, and it will generate more customers and keep the customers you've already earned as a result.
You know what I noticed is not on your list that everyone says they want, but no one really cares about it, is cheap, right? Lowest cost. Lowest cost does not always win. And in fact, when it comes to customer experience, you can't really pay for that with a low cost, right?
It's quite the contrary. The most recent data on this point says that 86% of customers, 86, will pay more for a better customer experience.
And that's actually pretty good for people to admit that, because no one really would admit that they would pay more. They feel like they're giving up part of the negotiation, but I think deep down inside, they absolutely would.
Look, I just moved into my new house recently, as we mentioned off air, and I ordered a couch online.
Right.
And I like the couch. Seems great. The couch is apparently finished being manufactured, but trying to have it shipped here is a comedy of errors that almost certainly will be in the next book that I write. Would I have paid an extra $300 to avoid this carnival ride of disappointment as relates to shipping?
Yeah,
absolutely. I would have, of course I would have. And the same goes whether you're working with a franchise pest control organization, a franchise restaurant, a franchise closet installation. It doesn't matter what kind of franchise organization the customer is working with. We're at the point where people just don't want any hassles. And the group of citizens that is the least tolerant of that kind of, like, well, yeah, you know, they're nice enough guys, but they're kind of hard to use and they don't answer the phone or whatever the deal is. They're kind of slow. The group of customers that are least tolerant of all of that hassle are millennials and Gen Z.
Yeah.
And that may not be your target customer today, but it most certainly will be your target customer eventually. That's just the way aging works. So they're not all of a sudden, like, put it this way. My kids are Gen Z. They're 21 and 18. And they have a very, 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 very low tolerance for hassle. And I do not believe that when they are 35, they all of a sudden are going to be much more welcoming of hassle. I just don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah, absolutely the contrary. They're as they age, they're actually going to get worse. I mean, imagine a grumpy old Gen Zer. Oh my God.
Yeah. Someday that's going to happen. You get like the crotchety old, like 82-year-old Gen Zer, like Bernie Sanders of Gen Z. It's going to be a interesting world at that point. So
when I was your age, all we had was TikTok. Yeah,
right. Exactly. Exactly. Well, and I speak about TikTok. I mean, that's the thing. I'm sure so many of our listeners today are always wondering about, you know, which social network they should jump on next, and should they be spending time and money on TikTok or Snapchat or Pinterest or whatever the flavor du jour is. And you know, I've been in the digital marketing business now since 1993, since domain names were free, early. a long time. I don't know if you know this story. In my first internet company, my partner and I sold the domain name Budweiser.com to Anheuser-Busch Brewing, and we sold it for...
You know, I've heard of them. That's
yeah, they're doing okay. We sold it for 50 cases of beer. And that's a true story. And we thought that we got a super good deal. It's a long time ago, though. The internet is more important now than it was, than it was then. But it's so challenging to be on the marketing side of things now, because there's so many opportunities. Like when I was coming up before the internet, it was like, well, and I worked with franchise organizations all the time. Like, well, we could we could buy an ad in the local newspaper. We could do some direct mail. We could sponsor a little league team, or we could do some radio. That was like the end of the options, right? That was like literally the full total of marketing tactics.
Yeah. How much of our money are we going to move from yellow pages to local radio this year? That's the big budgeting process.
Yeah. And now there's another place to spend money about every 20 minutes. It's really challenging. And so I'll tell your listeners what I tell everybody out there, all the geeks, is look, people ask me constantly, almost every day, Jay, you run a social media consulting firm. What should we do next? You know? And I said, the next thing you should do is do whatever you're doing today better. Mm-hmm. It's not about what's the next place to colonize, what's the next planet to show up on. It's spend some time getting better at the things you're already doing, and you'll end up a lot better off at the end.
Yeah, we talk to franchise systems every day, and kind of getting back to your discussion on what you say to people who are constantly asking about Snapchat and TikTok. To me, it's like, okay, you need to make some inroads there and at least own your name on a new platform.
You bet.
But
can't hurt.
But if 90% of your potential customers are on Instagram and you're not doing much there, then what are you worried about TikTok for right now? So I think that's what I see happening in the industry. What would you say to some of these brands that are experiencing that?
What's interesting is that over the last 2 years or so, we're starting to see more of a demographic separation in the social networks, right? Where Facebook is starting to skew a little older. Instagram is now covering all the different age ranges where it used to skew younger. Now it's mm-hmm. reaching almost all demographics, not quite so much in the seniors population yet, but bumping up against that. LinkedIn is kind of its own thing. Snapchat, of course, is young. TikTok, even younger. Twitter also skewing fairly young now. So it's a little bit easier in some ways to decide where to spend time if you've got a good handle on the demographics and to some degree psychographics of your core customers. And you said it exactly right. Like, spend time in the places where your customers spend time, which sounds ridiculously obvious, but I see people violating that creed constantly.
Yeah, I feel it the most right now here in early 2020 with Twitter. 6-7 years ago, you know, we were full bore on Twitter for businesses, for local businesses, for franchisees. And now I can't imagine a single brand that I'm working with right now that I would even tell them to bother right now, unless they're really customer service on social specific, and they're answering questions and complaints and that kind of thing.
Yeah, you took the words right out of my mouth. Yeah, I wrote a book about that called Hug Your Haters. This is all about how to do online social media customer service. And that's the one place where I think Twitter does still have value in some organizations. But typically, if you're in a franchise world, that's going to be the master corporate group is going to handle that more so than a local store or even a regional developer, depending on how your franchise is structured. But you know, you look at Krispy Kreme or somebody else. I mean, they're definitely answering tweets about donut quality, but that's typically not the responsibility of somebody who's in the field.
Yeah. I mean, it's great if you're the Wendy's corporate headquarters and you have, you know, these wonderful people writing fun, snarky tweets, but for your typical local store owner, retailer, the folks who want to spend a lot of time there, I really think we need to help them see where their customers are actually spending time.
Yeah. And I think it's also important to understand sort of at a base level, like, what are you using social media for? Like, there's no law that says you have to do it at all. And I say that as a social media consultant. So I think it's important to say, all right, are we using social media to try and create customers out of thin air? Are we using social media to turn current customers into word of mouth powered advocates? Are we using social media to recruit in a tight labor market? Like, all of those are valid. I feel like sometimes people are involved in social media because they feel like that's just the thing that you should do. And that's not a very sophisticated strategy.
Yeah. Social media overall is not a strategy. It's a place where your strategies are happening. Let's talk a little bit more about that, especially about word of mouth, because I would assume that's a big part of your customer experience and some of the things you'll be talking about at IFA 2020 coming up.
Yeah, definitely.
Tell me about that. Where do we start off with word of mouth, and how is that fitting into the customer experience?
We were talking about customer experience earlier, and oftentimes when we think customer experience in business, we believe that we are referencing things that keep customers, that reduce churn, that prevent defection, sort of customer experience as customer service, if you will. And that's certainly mm-hmm. one side of the equation. But the other side of customer experience is customer experience for acquisition. When you actually give your customers an experience that is so unusual that they are compelled to tell somebody else about it. That's where word of mouth comes into play. And of course, word of mouth is important for everybody in business at some level, but we unfortunately really take it for granted. We assume that competency creates conversation, that if you just run a good business, customers will naturally talk about that. But that's not the way the world works. I've never said, neither of you know this, and any of the geeks out there, nobody ever says, hey, let me tell you about this thing that happened to me last night. It was perfectly adequate. Like nobody ever says that, right? Because it's a terrible story. So you want to give your customers something that they will remember. You want to give them the raw materials to tell your story. And that raw material is almost never your core operations. I'll give you a quick example. There's a restaurant. It's not a franchise. It's a one-off owned by Skip Wall and his wife. They're up in Sacramento, California. They opened this restaurant 9 years ago. He was the regional GM for all the Chili's restaurants in Northern California. Decided he wanted to do it on his own. So we left, cobbled together his savings, opened a counter service hamburger restaurant with his wife called Skip's Kitchen. Big problem, ran out of, you know, basically out of money just to kind of build it out, had no money for marketing. And they said, all right, well, how is anybody going to know that this exists? And so they put together what I call in my book, a talk trigger, which is an operational decision, a choice that you make that's designed to create conversations. So the way Skip did it is that when you go to the counter, they've got a menu board there, you want a patty melt and an onion rings and a chocolate shake. Before you pay, the counter person whips out a deck of playing cards from underneath the counter and fans them out face down in front of you. And they say, pick a card.
Oh, wow.
And you select a card. And if you get a joker, your entire meal is free, whether you'd ordered for just yourself or an entire high school baseball team. Now, on average, about 4 people a day win this little gambit, and they go crazy, right? They're calling their mom, they're putting reviews on Yelp and Google and TripAdvisor, and you know, it's like a whole confetti cannon. I mean, it's quite a to-do, and it is so effective that now in their 10th year, they have spent a grand total of $0.00 on advertising and marketing ever. There's a line to get in almost every day. They were just named one of the top hamburger restaurants in America by USA Today newspaper, despite never advertising. And in Sacramento, despite the fact that there's a large neon sign out front that says Skip's Kitchen, most people call it that Joker restaurant.
I was just going to say, how long till we see a name change? Or maybe at least when they do get to the point where they're going to do some advertising for some other things, I'm guessing a joker is going to show up.
I would hope so. It seems like an obvious decision. But those kind of things, anybody can do that in any business. I've delivered this premise to a lot of franchise organizations, and everybody's looking for an edge, right? Everybody's looking for something to set themselves apart. And you know, can you be better than your competition? Maybe, but probably not for long. And so you can, however, be more memorable than your competition just by putting a little twist on. I'll give you an example that everybody listening is probably familiar with, or almost everybody. You ever go to CVS and you get the 19-foot long receipt for a pack of gum?
Yes.
Talk trigger, right?
Yeah, yeah.
People talk about it. If you go to Twitter and just search CVS plus receipt, you'll waste the rest of the day.
Right. People are sharing their pictures and making neckties out of them.
It's not an accident, right? Yeah, that is not, well, how did that happen? It is designed to create conversation. It is their calling card. Cheesecake Factory, all corporate-owned stores, but a lot of franchise dynamics in that business. Mm-hmm. Cheesecake Factory's enormous menu. They make all the food. Any dish that's ever been invented on this planet, they make. This is a true story. I had my intern steal a Cheesecake Factory menu, or permanently borrow, as my lawyer has advised me to say. She counted the words. The menu was like 16,000 words long, which is absurd. It's like a quarter of a business book. And they make chicken at the Cheesecake Factory 85 different ways.
Wow.
I mean, if we just set a little contest here for geeks, okay, everybody get paper and write down all the ways you can think of to make chicken,
right?
I would be shocked if anybody could do 20, 25, right? 85. It's absurd, right? Same thing. You go on Twitter, you search Cheesecake Factory plus menu, just cancel the rest of your appointments because you'll just be sitting there reading and laughing for the rest of the day. It's unbelievable, right? And that kind of word of mouth creation is what powers their business. When's the last time you saw, you know, a Cheesecake Factory ad? They don't advertise. They don't have to. Like, one of my favorite sayings in business is from the guy who founded Geek Squad, right? Robert Johnson. And it's that advertising is a tax paid by the unremarkable.
Wow.
And there's a lot of truth to that, right? Yeah, and certainly there's a time and a place for advertising. I buy and sell advertising myself all the time, but it is also true that many of the most effective organizations in the franchise world and beyond advertise the least because their customers do that job for them.
Oh, sure. You know, think of Apple or for a long time, Starbucks. Starbucks never ran an ad until just a few years ago.
And yeah,
so true. So how do you work with a brand to come up with a talk trigger? Is it, let's try a whole bunch of stuff and see what sticks?
No.
Or is it more methodical than that?
Super methodical. We have a whole framework. You can learn about it at talktriggers.com or in the book, also called Talk Triggers. It's the same framework that we use for consulting clients. We just put it in the book. And the worst way to do it is to like get in a conference room and brainstorm it. Because if it was that easy, you'd already have one.
Yeah, right, right.
You know, the tricky part is the talk trigger has to be something that the customers don't expect. Because if it's expected, it doesn't have the same kind of conversational impact. So what we advise is a lot of research, a lot of customer interviews to understand what do they expect at each of the kind of key inflection points. And then you just put a little twist on it, right? You just, what do they expect? Do something different than what they expect. The best way to do it is to come up with four or five candidates, figure out which ones are most operationally viable, then take one that you're like, you know what, if this became our calling card, we'd be cool with that. You then test it in some sort of test case. So a particular franchise location, a particular region, a particular type of product or service, you want to test it and then measure the talkability of that versus everybody else, versus the control with customer surveys and that kind of thing. So for example, we do a lot of work where we roll out a talk trigger as an experiment. And then we send a customer survey a week or two later, depends on the business. And we say, hey, have you told anybody about working with company X since we were out to see you? Yes or no? If yes, what did you say? And just let them write and see if they mention it unaided. Mm-hmm. And then we say, did you mention any of these things? And you give them a pick list of like six or seven attributes. The guy was really nice, is really fast, whatever. And then one of those attributes on the list is the talk trigger. So that's aided mention, right? So we do that kind of analysis. And if the talk trigger reaches a particular threshold, usually 15% of the audience has mentioned it, then you know there's enough there, and then you can roll it out across the enterprise.
Is there an opportunity or maybe a danger in at some point messing with somebody's talk trigger or maybe taking something away and getting some attention with that? Or is that just too dangerous?
Usually the magnitude of the talk trigger is not so significant that customers would like kind of lose it if they didn't have access to it. But it is important to make it available to as many customers as possible. One of the natural inclinations when you do this kind of work is to say, all right, well, let's roll something out for our best customers, loyalty program, our repeat customers, highest ticket customers, those kind of things. And I understand why people head that direction, but the problem is, if you're trying to maximize conversations, you have to also try to maximize the number of people who can tell the story. And when you truncate that group by saying it's only new customers or only big customers or only best customers, you're really doing yourself a disservice. And then what also can happen, and you see this in travel and hospitality in particular, right? Somebody gets to their hotel room and for whatever reason, their plutonium status, and they've got a bottle of champagne in their room and they put it on Instagram and you're like, bro, I stay at Marriott's a lot too. Where's my champagne?
Right. I never get that. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. So you're actually kind of making a bunch of the other customers less happy. So our counsel is that you come up with one talk trigger for the business and you make it, available to all customers in all circumstances.
Got it. So the free warm cookie when you check in that everybody gets is a talk trigger.
One of the classic stories in the book, yeah. Actually, is DoubleTree. Absolutely.
Oh, there you go.
And 34%, 34%. We did a huge research project on that just for the book. 34% of DoubleTree's customers have told a story about that cookie within 30 days of staying at a DoubleTree.
Mm-hmm. But the special free breakfast for Platinum Elite members is not a talk trigger because, and I'm just kind of asking, making sure I have this right, because it's a very small universe of people who actually get that special Platinum thing. And also those people expect it, right?
That's exactly right.
Right. I mean, free breakfast for a Platinum Hilton member or Marriott member, they're like, yeah, damn right. I got a free breakfast. That's stay here 300 nights a year, right?
That's exactly right. Yeah. Okay. You nailed it. It fails on both counts. One, it's not creative or different enough to truly create conversations. And two, you are artificially minimizing the number of people who can even tell the story. And that's why DoubleTree, everybody gets a cookie, right? It's not just if you're an honors member. It's not just if you're Hilton Gold, everybody gets a cookie, right? That's the genius of it. They give out 75,000 cookies a day worldwide.
Yeah. And that is not a very big expense if you take a step back and think about
considering they spend $0 on advertising. Like, what's the last time you saw a DoubleTree ad?
Right, right.
They don't advertise. The cookie is the ad.
Right. Right. And all of us who are sitting here on a podcast talking about them, that's the advertising too. So kudos, Hilton. Jay, before we go, any final thoughts on some things that you're going to be talking about coming up in a couple of weeks at the IFA with the franchise crew?
Yep. We're going to be talking about talk triggers and how to create conversations. We're going to be talking about quick, clear, and kind, how to build a coveted customer experience. If we've got some additional time in the session or when I'm just rolling around, if people have any questions at all about content marketing, social media marketing, all the other stuff that we do on behalf of major brands all around the world, I'm happy to help anybody out there. I'm really easy to find.
Awesome. You're the man in plaid. We will be able to find you.
Plaid, that I can promise you.
And real quick, I wanted to ask you about your other new podcast. Social Pros has been a favorite of ours here at Social Geek for a long, long time. But you've got another new show coming out already now too, right?
Yeah, Social Pros, which is our podcast about social media. We just crossed episode 400.
Nice.
Really excited about. Been doing that forever. And my new show is called Standing Ovation, which is all about how to tell better stories on stage and off stage. Sort of the art of storytelling and story curation and story harvesting. It's really, really fun. And so every week, new episodes every Monday. I have a professional speaker. Almost all of them are in the Speaking Hall of Fame. And we listen to that speaker's signature story, their 5-minute signature bit that they do on stage, and then talk about how did you write it, have you polished it, and then kind of deconstruct it on the fly.
Wow! So a little bit of a Shark Tank for speakers.
Mm-hmm. Super love inside, that. very inside baseball. Like, how do you actually take a story that happened to you 20 years ago and make it better and better and better and better every time you tell it?
Oh, I love that. We will definitely check that out. And that's available now, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Very good. We'll be back in just a moment with some additional contact information. But first, a quick note. We talk a lot on this podcast about using digital marketing for franchise lead generation. And there's nobody who does that better than brand journalists. I've known these guys for over a decade. They've become one of the most experienced and successful franchise dev marketing firms in the industry. They've grown over 170 franchise brands and helped Fran Dev Pros recruit over 10,000 franchise owners. And they do it with my favorite method, great storytelling on websites, targeted digital marketing, other places. So if you need some help in growing an emerging brand or breathing some life back into a legacy brand, or you just want to rise above the noise, talk to brand journalists. They'll give you a free audit of your website and of all of your Fran Dev marketing materials. Check them out at brandjournalists.com. Jay Bear, thanks so much for joining Social Geek today. We look forward to meeting you in person in Orlando at IFA 2020. If our listeners want to find out a little bit more about all of the things you're up to, where can we send them?
Thanks so much. I can't wait to see everybody out there. Thanks for having me on the show. Two places, Convince and Convert.com is our main site. We have more than 5,000 articles for business owners and managers, including all of our podcasts, research reports, and everything. And then my personal site is jbayer.com.
Awesome. We'll have links to those on Social Geek as well. Jay, thanks so much. And thanks to everyone for listening to Social Geek Radio. Copyright 2020, Social Geek Enterprises, Inc.